now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. How are you this morning? It's Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester. We've got you on a Friday here. Glad to have you with us. All the different ways you take in the program, whether it's listening to us over the air on KFH, watching us on our video streams on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube, X, or listening to us on the Odyssey app or the iHeart Music app. We are glad to have you either way. A lot to get to today on the program. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
It's a busy day today. I know we got to do the formalities. How you doing? Good to see you. We got a lot to get into. It's a busy, busy show.
We do. Okay, of course, the Royals start their second half today. We'll get to that. The Open Championship is in well underway into round number two. We're going to have Eric Johnson, pal, golf, local golf guy, is going to come in, connect us, and chat a little golf with us. We'll get you ready for the NBC World Series coming up. Of course, you've got the TBT tonight here in Wichita, and then the bombshell yesterday, the Rashee Rice legal decision that dropped in. Really surprising, I think, just about everybody, maybe, but Rashee Rice, of course, he pleaded guilty to some stuff. So we've got it all coming for you. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company, locations East, West, Historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. We'll give away a little HTO later in the program as well. Scale of, you know, 1 to 10. How surprised were you for the Rashee Rice news yesterday, Tommy?
I'd probably put it at like a 9, an 8 or 9. I didn't anticipate that it was going to happen when it did. I knew eventually we would see it, but, I mean, I was fully prepared to play this season and have the entire season play out before having any kind of answer on this. And so it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I'll put it at a 10. But, you know, with the caveat that we thought this was going to happen a long time ago, right? I think when there's nothing happening and you're trying to like figure out what you're going to do, and then you just don't hear anything, all you see is there's a court date set for what, January? And it's like, okay, well, I guess we're waiting until January. We had come to terms with the fact that the NFL was going to wait until the legal situation right. played out. That part we were like, okay, so this is going to be a delayed thing. And then the legal system, what I can't quite figure out is if something was scaled up more quickly than anticipated, because Rashee Rice, I think he had already pleaded guilty. So I don't know. I don't know enough about the ins and outs of that legal case to know why it came yesterday, but it came. And now Rashee Rice, if you missed the news, you probably didn't if you're listening to this show. But if you did, Rashee Rice says pleaded guilty to a couple of felonies and been sentenced now by a Dallas County judge to 5 years probation, 30 days in jail. Now, the 30 days in jail can be served anytime, so he didn't go to jail, but he'll at some point serve 30 days in jail. He's already paid a bunch of restitution. He's vowed to continue to do that to the victims. And now we wait for the NFL to come back and rule and suspend him for whatever number of games they're going to suspend him for. They certainly are. And that becomes a topic of great debate that we can get into, but there you go. You know, we've waited almost a full year for this. And the suspension is likely coming in 2025 as he gets healthy and reinserts himself into the Chiefs offense.
Yeah. You know, the NFL has shown time and time again that they wait for the legal system to play out before they make any kind of declaration on their end. And so that's what, honestly, we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the wheels of justice to turn, for the NFL to then decide what they're going to do. And, you know, I've seen estimates anywhere between two games on the low end, which that seems extremely unlikely to me, all the way up to eight or maybe more games. That seems unlikely to me too. I think we're probably somewhere in the middle of that. You know, I've seen the number six float around a whole heck of a lot, but you know, time will tell. We'll find out what the NFL wants to do.
Yeah, we'll dig into that. I think that becomes a pretty interesting discussion. But we will get that and have that for, you know, for, I think we just got to really be realistic with that. And I think there's a lot of people that aren't being realistic with that. Perhaps maybe even the Chiefs aren't being realistic with that in the situation and what happened. And it's just, it's going to impact them this year. And have we already passed this threshold of time where we don't care about that anymore and only care about the football? Like, we're getting into that danger zone, but we'll get into that. We've got just a couple of minutes here. And then we get the Royals tonight, Miami. One of these opportunities, you'd love to see him go down there and sweep. You know, you got to get at least two or three. We get back into that zone a little bit of what things are. I told Max we'd wait on this, but we can do this now. So the Royals yesterday made their first trade, Adam Frazier. Ken, a great Royals fan, left us a voice message on that. You can leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app. You hit a little microphone. Let's get Ken's thoughts on the Frazier trade as we get you through this last little bit, and then we'll dig more into Rashee Rice.
Good morning, gentlemen. What does Adam Frazier do with runners in scoring position? Sign the hordes of base runners stranded over the course of the first half of the season. Have a great day.
Let me just look here, Ken. I don't know off the top of my head, but that is a great point.
I mean, without even looking it up, I can't imagine he's worse than what the Royals have done throughout the season with runners in scoring position collectively.
310.
That'd be hard
he's
to
batting 310.
Yeah, that'd be hard to be hard to be worse than that. 310. I mean, that's solid. They need somebody down the stretch that can drive in runs, and whether or not he's in the starting lineup or if he's coming off the bench as a pinch hitter, there's value for that for sure.
The Royals, we take a swing at what the Royals' season average right now with runners in scoring position is.
215.
229.
Okay.
So 315 is good. Now, I don't know what that means. You know, I don't know that means they're going to just pull him up in that situation to hit. He's a professional baseball player. He's a professional hitter. All the cliches you want to use for guy that will hopefully give you a productive out with runners in scoring position, that would be him. And I wondered yesterday, like, how much of what this trade means is directed at that exact issue. They know there's a guy out there that cost them almost nothing who is pretty good at doing that thing. I will call it average because I think his OPS is like 630, so just slightly below. But if his batting average is higher, that's okay because he's not a power hitter, so it's not totally fair. But we'll call it average. That's an improvement. And where they place him in the lineup could be meaningful to trying to solve that problem. But again, Adam Frazier is not going to single-handedly send the Royals to the playoffs. The entire team must get better and closer to what they do normally in that specific situation to get there. So good thought, Ken. One I actually had yesterday, and I'm glad you made me look it up because we just did. All right, we're going to get to Rashee Rice. Tommy, I need the address. Where do I send my man card in? I watched K-pop Zombie Hunters with my kids on Netflix, and I got about 9 K-pop songs from that movie in my head, and I can't stop like humming them and say I need to.
I'm not sure I really even know what K-pop is. How is I know it's music, but
it's
is
like
it
the
different
dancing
than
Korean boy bands?
Okay,
like, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Now
there's
I do.
A movie okay. called K-pop Zombie Hunters.
Wonder how
it's
that
got
did
a
on,
lot of that music.
Wonder how that did on Rotten Tomatoes. I can't imagine.
Very well.
Did
it's
it
one
really?
Of the most popular movies
what?
In the country right now. Yeah, it's like taking the country by storm. Songs are catchy. I don't know how to feel about that. But if you catch me humming in and out of breaks, that's it'll probably be some K-pop. Whatever that's worth. We'll come back, let's talk Rashee Rice when we return on Sports Daily.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on this Friday as we are getting you ready for a big weekend. Back to action in Major League Baseball. We have the TBT coming to Wichita beginning tonight. We've got the NBC World Series on the horizon. Training camp in the NFL starts next week. And then we get a bombshell for the Chiefs with Rashee Rice. Before we get to that, I want to tell you that the Summer Concert Series is back at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover. It returns tonight with Big Fat Fun live on stage. Gates open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Enjoy free live music, food trucks, and Friday night fun all summer long. Full schedule at kfhradio.com. All right, Tommy, we come back in. We get the Rashee Rice news. We set that up in the first segment. The situation, legally speaking, seems more or less handled. Again, 5 years probation, 30 days in jail. At some point during that 5 years for Rashee Rice, it can be removed from his record if he's a perfect citizen. He's very remorseful in his apology, has never, you know, backed away from the incident, even though he ran away from the scene, which is a serious part of this, which we'll get into, is very, very serious. I saw a lot of this yesterday, and I just don't want to get there of trying to compare this to other things when talking about how long he may get suspended. Well, you know, they only suspended XYZ for X number of games. Well, you know, nobody died. Well, you know, he did, you know, guys, people, we are very lucky. He is very lucky. We're not talking about a lot of people being dead. 120 mile per hour on a major highway that caused a pileup. Okay. Like that. Just because nobody died doesn't make that less stupid. It was equally as stupid and lucky that something terrible didn't happen. This is a really big deal. This isn't the same as a player getting in a bar fight. It's not. And three felonies, right? He fled the scene. I think that he is doing all the right things. But this is a really big thing that happened. And I think time has desensitized us to it just to be like, well, maybe I've seen, like, I saw the report yesterday, and I don't have any doubt in the report because the reporter is good, but the Chiefs expect maybe 2 to 4 games. How could you expect only 2 to 4 games on this? There was the initial thought early on in this that he might get half a season or more. Nothing has changed to bring that down. Like, I'll be surprised if it's not 6, at least. But maybe it's not. I just, like, it's so hard with the NFL, Tommy, because there's not typically precedent on this stuff. But let's not fall in the camp of downplaying what happened in this situation, please. Like, it's just, I can't do it.
I've got family that live in that general area in Dallas. I've been on that highway multiple times. I've been on that highway exactly where the accident happened, at about the exact same time that accident happened. And you're spot on when you say it is a miracle that nobody died in that crash, because it's busy most of the day, if not all of the day. And the fact that, I mean, this happened like in broad daylight. This happened in the middle of the day. This wasn't an overnight thing, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Like, this happened like middle of the day. It is shocking and surprising that nobody died, and everybody's extremely fortunate, Rashee Rice included, that we're not talking about, right? We're not talking about, you know, much, 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 much worse situation. Here's the thing. If you want to do comparisons, and I've heard different comparisons, you shared one with me yesterday, one of our colleagues up in Kansas City, comparing it to, I think you mentioned the bar fight, Alvin Kamara, and, you know, that whole deal. If you want to compare this particular Rashee Rice situation to something else, you can compare it to the Henry Ruggs situation where he did kill somebody by doing nearly the exact same thing, driving well, well above the speed limit. Like, we're talking 100 mile per hour, if not more, speeds on a major highway, and Henry Ruggs killed somebody, is in prison now, and will never play in the NFL again. Rashee Rice is extremely fortunate that that wasn't the same outcome for him, because it very easily could have been. So I do agree with you. You can't compare it and the potential suspension to a bar fight or some of these other things that we see happen in the NFL from time to time, the personal conduct type stuff. It's a lot different than that. And, you know, so like I mentioned in the last segment, I've seen the, you know, expectations that the Chiefs think it's probably 2-4. I'd be surprised if it's anywhere close to that.
Yeah, and they can expect what they want, and that's fine. Like, they can expect 2-4. Maybe they have some information to think it's 2-4. Like, whatever. That's one piece of it. I just can't, like, I know everybody loves the Chiefs. We love the Chiefs. We love the Chiefs being successful. You know, it's a really fun team to follow with a bunch of really high quality individuals. Sometimes individuals make bad decisions. This was one of those times. But I'm not going to sit here and try and, like, it's not that it's justifying it. It's like it's trying to make light of it when talking about, because it might affect them on the field. This is, you know, this is a thing separate from anything else. It will affect them on the field.
And we can have that conversation. We should have that conversation. I've got thoughts on that situation about how it impacts the Chiefs and the football games and all of that. I think it's okay to have that conversation. I don't think by talking about how this impacts the football team and the football games, I don't think that minimizes the actual situation itself. Because I do think you can have both. I don't think that, you know, that there needs to be virtue signaling and, you know, well, we can't talk about football. We can't talk about how this impacts.
No, I don't agree.
I'm not saying you're doing that. I've seen people on social media be like, I can't believe that, you know, people want to talk about how this impacts the actual games. That minimizes the situation itself. Well, no, it doesn't. They're two different conversations. Yeah. And you can have both at the same time.
I just mean in the sense of a suspension. Let's not pretend like this wasn't a big deal, so he shouldn't get a lot of games just because he plays for the Chiefs and is really good. It's a very serious situation. Everybody's very fortunate. He probably should get a lot of games because that's like if you're the NFL and you want to prevent somebody from making the same decision, right? Isn't that the spirit of suspending players to begin with? You're trying to set an example and make it so nobody else wants to make that same bad decision. Okay, it's young people. I get it. We all make stupid decisions. We make plenty of stupid decisions, but there are consequences for our actions. His legal consequence has now been delivered. Now he's got to face his professional consequence. He's lucky because in a lot of places he'd be fired if he did something like that and he was public facing, quite frankly. So what does the NFL do? I think it's 6 minimum. It's hard because last year the general thought was that it was going to be a lot of games, like upwards of 8. Because the situation was so bad. Now it just like has time really dissolved that. I doubt it. Now, when it comes to the Chiefs and Rashee Rice missing those games, I mean, this almost identical roster made the Super Bowl a year ago without him. So they'll be fine. They drafted Jalen Royals. Are they going to be as good? Absolutely not. Is Patrick Mahomes going to do the things we've been talking about the last couple of weeks or I have and like lead the league in passing and go absolutely bonkers if Rashee Rice misses 6 or 8 games? No, probably not. I mean, that was a big part of it. Rashee Rice is really good. But I would also tell you that Worthy almost duplicated the things that we thought about Rice at the end of his rookie year that made him so exciting going into his second year and really to start his second year. He was good out of the gates last year before he got hurt. Worthy did all that same stuff at the end of last year too. So they got Kelsey back. Like, they're not going to be as good, but I still think they'll be fine. They'll be all right. And if it's not, if it is like the reporting has been that it's only a handful of games, then it's kind of a non-factor. Guys miss 2-4 games all the time.
I mean, I've seen a lot of panic from people on social media like, oh, this is going to really, really impact the Chiefs and what they do and potentially making another playoff run or championship run. I don't buy any of that. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, is the fact that the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl a season ago largely without Rashee Rice. He was injured in week three, and they were able to find a way to make it back without him. So they can still win games without Rashee Rice. Will they be as talented? No, but they found ways to win and get all the way to where they wanted to be ultimately at the end of the season with Rashee Rice on the shelf. That's number one. Number two, the wide receiver room is better, deeper, and more talented overall than it was a season ago. Oh, and by the way, healthier. If they can keep everybody healthy, Hollywood Brown should be healthy and ready to go for this season. And they didn't have him at all until the playoffs last year. So they've got him. Xavier Worthy isn't a rookie anymore, so he's not going to be learning the playbook. He's got a year under his belt now. And as you mentioned, he showed off his talent when Rashee Rice went down with that injury. Travis Kelce looks like he's in a position to be more of that receiver type guy this season than he was a year ago. And then, as you mentioned, Jalen Royals is now on that roster as another pretty exciting rookie. Juju Smith-Schuster is back. They're deeper, better, more talented, and healthier at that position. And so, yeah, you would love to have Rashee Rice for the entire season, but without him, they still have a significant amount of talent in that wide receiver room if everybody can stay healthy. And finally, my final point on this is that I think internally there ought to be a little bit of a sigh of relief from the Chiefs, regardless of what the suspension total number of games is, because they don't have this looming over their heads anymore. Once the suspension comes down, they don't have to worry about when is this going to happen? How do we game plan for it? It'll be done, over with. They can move on. They won't have that shadow following them around for however long.
I mean, if you're the Chiefs at this point, I would imagine you want this out of the gates, right? We want this in starting in week one, whatever it's going to be. Yep. Started in week one. We'll have him back. We'll have him back in time to get him ready for the postseason, and then boom. Austin says on YouTube also, Juju gets the ball a little bit more, a little underrated signing. I think it was appropriately rated, but yeah, I think Juju's going to be a part of it for sure. They didn't bring him back for no reason. The reality is the Chiefs they're going from an elite level of pass catchers, as good as there is in the league, to a good level of pass catchers, which they had last year until everybody got hurt. And then they had to go find DeAndre Hopkins and bring back Juju Smith-Schuster and do all that. That was because Rashee Rice got hurt and Hollywood Brown got hurt, right? They were dropping like flies. And now you're down to a rookie in Worthy, which he's not anymore. I will say, though, it does put you in a position where you could get back to that point now with one injury, right? We just talked about that. But if Kelce or Brown or Worthy, any of those guys, if they went down while Rice is suspended, now you're kind of back in a tough spot. We'll see how quickly Jalen Royals acclimates based on the time it takes for players and receivers to acclimate under Andy Reid. I wouldn't anticipate any large role early in the season, so I don't know that he's going to be much of a factor. And that's not based anything on him, but only on how long it typically takes guys with Andy Reid to get there, including Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, by the way. So the line will be better. Almost has to be in pass pro, and the receivers without Rice are largely what they were to end the season last year. And remember, they did start to get better. The offense did start to get better as Hollywood Brown came back, and then Xavier Worthy kind of found his stride, and they got there eventually, even without Rice, because he was gone all year because of an ACL injury. He's going to be gone for some part of this year. I think they are as talented in that room as any team in football when he's there. And when he's not, they're still pretty good. But now they're thin. They are thin now. And that's probably the concern for me, is now what happens if somebody gets hurt. Now you're looking at a room that's a little less
I've got a little PTSD. I hope that they put Hollywood Brown in a bubble and they don't put him on the field at all in the preseason. I don't want to see him take a single snap in the preseason at all.
It's a different situation with him now too, because he's been there a full year.
Right.
So those things like that we argued about last year before he got hurt, like he knows the offense now. He's not coming into a new and fresh thing. So I'm with you. I'm fine if he doesn't play now this year because he's not new to the system. None of these guys are. I mean, somebody has to play. Royals needs to play.
And if I'm him, by the way, if I'm Hollywood Brown, I'm telling the Chiefs, I don't want to play in the preseason.
Because yeah, you can't do that.
Well, he re-signed for another year with the Chiefs because it's another prove it year. He didn't get to prove it last year. He wants to get another big contract with another team. So he's got to be healthy this year if he wants to parlay it into a larger contract.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to just put him on total ice because it's not typically what the Chiefs do forever. Forever they've done that. I don't think they will.
They should.
I still like football players have got to play. But yeah, I get what you're saying. And now it is a different situation though. He knows the system. It's not, and he's not new to the offense anymore. But the lack of depth there now, it takes a hit with Rice and whenever he's gone. Don't you think this comes before the season starts? I mean, that was all the indication from all the different reporting yesterday is that the league would like to move pretty quick on this. Nothing's changed legally. What does the league still need to review now?
Yeah, I think it will come pretty quickly. And you know what? If you go back to when he went down with that injury, when was that, week 3 or week 4? I remember our conversations at that time was, hey, Chiefs fans, prepare to be without Rashee Rice for a long time. Because at that point it was, torn ACL, he's out for a while, going to be gone the rest of the year. And then, oh, by the way, there's a chance that he could be suspended. So he could be healthy, come back, or almost come back, be ready to come back, and then the NFL suspends him for however many games. I remember that being the conversation at the time. And then when we didn't hear anything forever and ever and ever, it was like, well, maybe it won't come in the 2025 season. But now it's kind of back to that original thought of, he's out for quite a long time with that knee injury, and then that just rolls right into a suspension.
Which is the case. Now, we'll see how long it goes. Maybe the reporting is right, and the Chiefs are right, and it's a small suspension. And
would you be disappointed in the NFL if it was a 2 to 4 game suspension?
No, I'm not going to be disappointed in it. I don't know. I don't want to downplay the situation. But if they came out and suspended him for 4 games, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed. I do think there are so many things that go into that. I don't know them. And without talking to them about it, I don't have a problem with being harsher on somebody who has a malicious intent to go hurt somebody, which was not the case in this situation. It was a really stupid thing. But I don't think he was like trying to cause a wreck, whereas like DV, you're trying to hurt somebody. You're trying to instill fear. Even the bar fight thing, you're actively trying to hurt somebody. So if the NFL values and wants to come down harder on that, it's not going to make me angry. I just would be surprised. But I don't know their reasoning. I don't have their reasoning in front of me. I'm not in that room. I don't think they're sitting there thinking, oh man, we don't want to, we sure have the Chiefs on TV a bunch. We probably shouldn't suspect like that. You'll hear that kind of stuff, but no, it's not any of that. No, I'm not going to be disappointed. I think it was a really stupid thing that he did. I think he's really, really lucky. I don't want to downplay that, but I also don't know how the NFL weights some of this stuff. If they go through their process and they determine 2 to 4 games, okay, fine. Like, whatever. Like, we'll all move on with it. Like, it is what it is. We'll get back to Rashee Rice in the second hour. If you missed any of the beginning parts of our conversation, you can catch it on the Odyssey app. Royals get back at it tonight. I'm really glad baseball's back. That 2-day stretch after the All-Star break is always a tough 2-day stretch on the sports calendar. Seth Lugo gets at it tonight. I saw more predictions and everything. Maybe they'll trade with the Cubs and go strength for strength and find their bat and help the Cubs and do all these things. And boy, it's a fascinating one, but at the end of the day, the Royals just need Lugo to keep on keeping on and pitch really well here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. With the way the Royals have played so far in the month of July, if they can carry it on after the All-Star break, then I think it becomes even less likely that they move Lugo. And I would be shocked if they did. They've got a pretty advantageous schedule, not only the rest of the way, but even right now, between now and the trade deadline, going to Miami. Miami's not a great team. They can get 2 of 3 on the road, and I think the expectation should be that. And then if you can sweep them, even better. But at that point, you're that much closer to 500. You would like to think that if you go 2 of 3 in this series and maybe even sweep the Marlins, then you should gain some ground, hopefully, in the wild card race. So as that relates to Lugo and the trade deadline and all of that, I think it's more and more unlikely that they make a move with him, because I feel like the Royals believe that even with the roster as it is now, that they can make a playoff run, and they're going to be probably they're going to add as opposed to subtract, you would think, before the trade deadline.
Yeah, they already have, right? They've already answered that question to some degree. They went and they brought Adam Frazier back, so they've already added. And again, like, I don't want to downplay that. I don't want to downplay making that move. It's a move. It's money. It's salary. It's, you know, trading away a player that probably could be a bench guy, rotational guy with all kinds of control. Like, it wasn't nothing. That was an addition. They went and they made an addition to the roster. So they don't forget that. Don't forget that they called up Jack Caglione way too early. Again, I think they should have. Don't forget that they've added Rich Hill and Dallas Keuchel for depth and all these things. Like, they're making aggressive moves. They have been all season long. Nothing has backed off of that. We just have to see if they think that their record's going to indicate doing it. There are a lot of teams, Tommy, right now that have essentially the same record that are perceived sellers, that are publicly making themselves sellers. The Rangers just traded away Dane Dunning to your Braves. Dane Dunning's handy. I can't figure that one out yet. But there are teams that are positioning themselves to sell that are in the same spot. The Royals are not doing that. The Royals are, by all accounts and by what we see with our eyes, telling us, hey, we want to be aggressive here. So I don't know what would, you know, outside of just an absolute catastrophe, as JJ Piccolo has told us, we're not going to let individual games dictate what our plan is here. I don't know what's going to change that before the deadline that's a realistic outcome. I think that they want to be moderately aggressive here.
It goes back to what we talked about a little bit yesterday with the Adam Frazier trade, that the trade itself, by itself, doesn't indicate a major move for the Royals. Like, that's not a groundbreaking, earth-shattering trade that the Royals made to acquire a guy like Adam Frazier. However, I mean, I do think that there is veteran presence and leadership and clubhouse and all these different things that are intangibles that Frazier brings back to the Royals. And they clearly liked what he did a season ago in that regard with them. But it's a depth piece. But from a bigger picture view, I think you can draw some conclusions from that Adam Frazier trade. I think it shows that the Royals, they want to add. They want to show that they are, you know, being aggressive, even if it's just moderately aggressive, leading up to and at the trade deadline. I think another thing to keep in mind with the Adam Frazier trade is that whether or not they go and acquire a big bat or they make a major move, they're willing and open to improving in the margins. JJ Piccolo said as much, that the depth was really important. And when you look at the guys that they've had on that roster, where they've been, you know, the players that are pinch hitters or their platoon guys, or they come in and provide depth, they haven't been very good. And there have been a lot of them. They cycled through a lot of those players over the course of the season. Frazier does provide a little bit of consistency there. And him being able to be somebody that can be called on and relied upon in versatile situations, while by itself his stats don't jump off the page at you, he does provide value in a lot of different areas, in those margin areas that a lot of times people don't, that they don't look at when you're trying to overall gauge the success of a team. I do think that it tells you what the appetite is for the Royals to continue to add before the trade deadline.
Well, that's a good, I think we're talking about two different things though. What's the appetite to add more and what's the appetite to not sell, I think are different. I don't think they have an appetite to sell right now. Again, Lugo is a total, like, all the conversations we're having right now, we have to take Lugo and set him to the side, because his situation is totally different than becoming a quote unquote seller, because of the contract situation he faces and because of what he could potentially return. I think we have to separate him from everything else. everything else, I don't think they have any appetite to sell right now. I think the appetite to add in the margins, as you mentioned, is probably quenched now with the Frazier move. I don't think there's anything coming down the pipeline at the moment. Again, could be totally wrong about that. But I think that they think that they're good enough. And I think that if they play well, they're good enough for sure. They're not a roster on paper that we look at and be like, yeah, they really need XYZ outside of a power bat in the outfield, of course, which that doesn't grow on trees. That's like saying we need an ace starting pitcher, right? That ain't easy. That's not, you know, you don't just stumble into those things. You're going to have to pay a price for that. I don't think they should be ready to pay a price for anything yet. I think they should let the guys they have who are, until the last, you know, 3-4 weeks, have largely underperformed this year. Let them try to find their groove as they began to do in July. And they're going to win a whole bunch more games if they don't add another anything to the roster.
Yeah, I don't even know, like, in the terms of the selling conversation, I don't even know, outside of the Lugo situation, which you did, I agree with you, completely different than anything else. I don't even know who else the Royals have on the roster that they would even entertain moving. And I don't think they should. I mean, I don't think that there are players on that roster as it stands right now that they should be like, yep, we're going to put them on the trade block and we're going to shop them around to see what we can get. Guys that are on the big league roster right now, you know, they, of course,
you've got Mark Canna, Taylor Clark would be an interesting name. And then Lugo's of course got his option. I think that's it. There aren't very many.
Yeah.
Everyone else is in arbitration. Luke Maley is an outright free agent. Everybody else is either in arbitration, has options, or can be extended, with the exception of Lugo, who can opt out. I don't know if Lorenzen's is a player option. He can, but he's his next year anyway. That's it. They don't have a lot coming off the books. So there aren't a lot of players they can run out, which is good news for them too, because it means that they bring all this back next year. And I still like all this on paper. I know they haven't performed up to what we thought, but I still like what this team is on paper. They just have to play better.
That's easier said than done.
Of course it is.
I do think the pressure is a little bit on, obviously, on JJ Piccolo, because he's the architect of this roster. And I don't disagree with you that on paper, it should be a better performing roster than what it has been. They should be an over 500 ball club right now. They've not delivered at the plate. They've been picked up by really good starting pitching and a good back into the bullpen. But on paper, at least that lineup should be better than what it is. And so if you don't, there are a couple of different options here. JJ Piccolo can be aggressive to go and find reinforcements in that lineup, or you can stand pat and you can say, on paper, this lineup looks really good and we need them to perform and deliver. If they don't, and if you go into next season, for example, and it's more of the same, then it's a different conversation. Yeah. And the pressure is on JJ Piccolo's shoulders to say, look, like, outside of the core, like the Bobby Witt Juniors and the Salvador Perez's of the world, this lineup overall is not working, and there's a big body of work that it's not working. We need to make some moves. We need to try to maybe try to tear it down and try again. So this year is going to be different than next year is, for sure, in that it wouldn't be overly surprising if they didn't make any major moves and they just kind of were quiet.
I think that that's where we're headed most likely. I would have confidence in that scenario too, by the way. If it doesn't work out in the offseason, Jonathan India gives you confidence that they can go do that. They went and identified a problem this offseason and very aggressively addressed it with Jonathan India. They can go do that again in the offseason. They just can't do it right now because you pay too premium a price right now to go get a highly what you think is going to be impactful bat to do a specific thing. But if you give them the entire offseason to go identify a power hitting left fielder, they can go do that in the offseason. I think that the Noah Cameron piece of this makes their job easier, because I think the expectation has always been that they're going to lose Lugo. So Noah Cameron slides in. You don't have the hole in your rotation. Lorenzen's on the books for next year. So, like, it's not a monumental task in the offseason to go find one thing that they need. otherwise, they're pretty much set, right? The bullpen's all back. They get Harvey back, all these things.
By the way, how about this? This comes from FanGraphs. I just read this, that the Royal corner outfielders, we're talking left field and right field, collectively, all of them that have played in those positions this year have combined for a negative 3.8 war. And so the team conceivably would be over 500 if they had just even had average, like a league zero average. War, just a league average left fielder and right fielder. Four wins. The corner outfielders are responsible for the Royals not winning. They'd be an over 500 ball club without them.
Does that surprise you?
No, it does. I mean, I think the total number, like the negative war, almost negative four, that does surprise me a little bit.
That's pretty high.
Yeah,
pretty
high. You think?
Players. Again, Cags is out there. That was always a risk to bring him up too early.
I mean, he's got a negative one war right now.
A risk that I think is still the correct decision. But that's what I mean. Like, the margin's there for improvement. It's hard to imagine him getting worse. Tommy's been very unlucky. He's probably going to get better. That's going to make the offense better. So don't get impatient, Royals fans. We got 2 weeks of baseball here before any decisions have to be finalized. We'll come back. Coming up, we'll talk a little golf with Eric Johnson when we return on Sports Daily.